You're listening to the Pastor's Podcast of Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. You can find more resources like this one at missioncityfellowshipsa.org. All right, greetings, beloved saints of Mission City Fellowship. On this third week of February, Pastor Phil and Pastor Rob here. Pastor Rob, say hello.
Hi.
I know this is not something that we're like, you know, we're not like radio hosts or something, right? It's a little awkward.
A little different.
But I'm glad that we can serve the church this way. Our hope is that, for sure. Rob and I just had our weekly pastors or elders meeting. We typically have a meeting on Wednesdays, and just kind of finished that up. We each week is a little bit different. There's a little bit different emphasis, but always it's filled with, you know, where are people at, praying for people, praying for the good of our church, praying for the different needs of the church. Lots of moments of prayer, lots of moments of prayer. So it always ends up being a time where we're able to highlight God's grace, ask Him to work in areas of needed growth and care. So that kind of results in, I love it. You said in our meeting, Rob, I was encouraged by this, that it sort of always leads our hearts to move towards faith in the Lord, knowing He can act and move. It's encouraging.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things, brother. And then I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the sermon. But before we get there, we have our men's conference coming up, and registration closing for that was this past Sunday. And the final, we know there may be a few more stragglers coming in, but the final registration list is 24 guys from our church, and some of that's fathers and sons, but 24 from our church, which is so amazing. And then total is just over 220 from our region. So from, I think, five or six different churches, 220 guys. Isn't that awesome?
That's really encouraging. Looking forward to this.
It is. It is super encouraging. And you are leading a breakout session at the conference, right?
Yes, I am. I am about the spirit-empowered leadership in the home.
I'm always excited whenever we have an opportunity, whether it's in our local church or our region, for you to be able to teach or speak on something like this that just imparts wisdom. I know you've done it in some of our care collectives or our collectives. I'm grateful for you, brother. You hear this from me all the time, but I love doing it publicly for all to hear, of just my gratitude, my gratefulness to the Lord for you, and how the Lord uses you. There's so much wisdom and just solid truth that's always motivated by grace and empowered by grace. And I'm grateful. So I'm really excited that you get to speak into our region in this way in one of the breakout sessions. So thank you for doing that, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's humbling. And I just pray for me. Pray that I would be able to communicate God's heart for men and it's just wherever God has us, what does He intend for us as men? Mm-hmm. And so, just be praying that the Lord would use that to encourage. I think I saw on the list there's 70 or so who are signed up for that breakout. So quite a few men. So
yeah, that's great. That's great. Yes. And I will be praying, and church, be praying for Rob and that, you know, this isn't like just easy stuff. You know, it requires a lot of preparation, a lot of labor, among the other things, you know, that you're trying to do just locally in our local church. I'd ask for prayer personally as well. I'm just coming alongside Daryl, our regional leader, coming alongside him and just helping kind of plan this conference and kind of get all the pieces working together and praying. I have a call later with kind of our regional team, administrators and people helping in different churches. and kind of leading that and just praying for the retreat. So praying for all our churches and for men going and families that are at home, and everyone's being prayed for, which is really cool. But there is a lot to carry. I think I feel some of the weight just trying to be a faithful pastor here locally, but then trying to serve our region extra locally. You know, there's a lot to go on. And so we're working on the men's conference, and we're already started planning the regional youth retreat. And I oversee that too. So there's been a lot going on. So church, we would absolutely love your prayers. I don't know, you know, if our church realizes that, but regionally we have different teams or committees that we serve on that serve our family of churches. And so I serve on a church plant committee. Rob serves on what's called a judicial review committee, where he's having to walk through, you know, if there's, and this is not just even in the Texas, but you helped serve in a situation with a pastor in Africa where there was needed accountability, and walking through some of that process, and along with a couple other guys. And so you serve our region and family of churches, you know, regionally, but also extra regionally in that. I help oversee some of these, like our regional youth retreat, men's conference, stuff like that. So there's just a lot going on, All of it good. That's good stuff, but we could definitely use prayers. In light of that, we're trying to facilitate just all the guys that are going and facilitate some carpooling and how we can maybe all fit in the Airbnb to sleep. And so some of that may require, we know we've verbalized this, but it may require, you know, sleeping on couches and sleeping on pull-out beds and bunk beds. And we think we're going to be okay, but we'll be hopefully getting word out here very soon on that kind of stuff. With that, brother, can we talk about Sunday sermon?
Sure.
So we started, we finished the Gospel of John, which was just wonderful. I loved it. I loved the season we were in John. There was a part of me that wanted to just go back and repeat it, and I just loved it. So this past Sunday we started a little short mini series, just a few weeks long, called Humble and Prayerful. And just desiring to be a church growing in humility and prayerfulness. And you kicked us off out of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. So could you, I want to speak a little bit to the sermon and just maybe some practical ways coming out of the sermon we can seek to apply it. But could you just kind of review the sermon?
Okay, sure. It was taken... focus of 2 Chronicles 34 is Josiah, who came to be king at a young age. He was 8 years old. He began to make reforms in the nation, and in the process of that, they came across the book of the law, and it was read in Josiah's presence. And when he heard the judgments that were tied to the old covenant, he responded with tearing his clothes and with weeping and concern that the nation of Israel has not been obedient to the old covenant, has not kept up their end of it. Then he sent out word. He wanted to find if there were people who were still hearing the Lord, sensitive to the Lord, who could speak to the situation. They found Huldah, right? Like for some reason, my brain is just like Huldah the prophetess, right? And she... basically spoke and said, because Josiah humbled himself, because he was tender of heart and he humbled himself before the Lord, that these judgments wouldn't come upon him. There would still be judgments upon the nation, but not upon him, that he would enjoy peace throughout his reign. And so we then just started talking about how the Lord, what we see in that is how the Lord loves a tender heart and how the Lord listens to a humble heart, and talking about a tender heart is a heart that's pliable and yielded. It's like, I use the illustration of a wax, but it could be maybe even clay before it's hardened, obviously, but just clay, how it's pliable, and it yields to the person shaping it and forming it. And so our hearts are to be easily shaped and soft to the Lord's touch. Then there is the humble heart. It just means to be brought low. It is seen that He is the Lord God and we're not. And what does that mean for our lives? It's recognizing that we are the creature. He's the creator. And it begins to shape how we move towards the Lord, our disposition before the Lord. And certainly we hear this resonates into the New Testament with verses like from Peter, that God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Mm-hmm. And so how all of that then forms towards prayer, and how that leads to where it brings a degree of urgency. And when we understand, when we're soft to the Lord and we understand our spiritual condition, that we brings like this, what we're saying, and the Lord listening to us and hearing us, and that this is critical, and these, the things that concern us really do, the Lord is saying he's paying attention there. And mm-hmm. so that was essentially the sermon, and how might that look in our life to have tender hearts and humble hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a wonderful sermon. I kind of joke about this, but like praying is something I say it like this. This sounds cheesy. Hopefully it doesn't sound proud. That'd be the opposite of what I'm wanting to intend. Like praying is one of my favorite things though. Like, and I'm not saying that because it's like, look at me, I'm so good at praying or something like that. Like that, that's not the heart of it, but just, I love it. I enjoy it. It's, you know, I've gotten to see the Lord do some pretty wonderful things in light of prayer. But also it's refreshing to me. It encourages me. I mean, we just got done talking about, you know, praying for people in the church and how it moved our own hearts towards faith and looking to the Lord and trusting Him and entrusting the cares of our hearts to Him. And So I love that, but I love the pathway in which we got there, and of this tender heartedness. The Lord looks and sees that. The Lord cares about that. And then this humility that acts up out of a tender heart towards the Lord, that then runs to the Lord and depends upon Him. I left Sunday. I told Danielle, I said, you know, it was just a refreshing drink of the Lord's word and His truth. And brother, so you fed us well, in a sense. You gave us a refreshing drink of the Lord's word, and it was compelling. It was corrective in a way, but it was compelling. And I think there's a wonderful way of pastoring when there can be a correction that's brought, but yet that may be convicting, but yet it's compelling at the same time. It moves us towards the Lord and moves us along. And that was really well done. You did that really well. By God's grace, we know that's a work of the Spirit. But just, I left so grateful. So brother, in light of that, just what are some encouragements that you'd give of how we can grow in tenderness and humility? Mm-hmm. How is that cultivated in our lives?
Yeah. Right. I think it's cultivated like most things in our life, with prayer. Well, I would say confession, repentance, and trust, those rhythms that come out of the gospel, where, you know, my first thought was, if we want to grow with a tender heart and grow a humble heart, then we need to confess hardness in our life. We need to confess where we find that we're resistant for whatever reason. I think sometimes there are flags that can indicate maybe where there's resistance, where we're not pliable before the Lord, where we're not quick to respond to His word or to respond to His truth. And I think things like that can be like, hey, the areas where we sense hardness, like areas where maybe we're angry or where we're battling resentment or maybe indifference even, or harshness or impatience. These can be areas like, hey, you know, Lord, I'm finding this may be an indicator of a heart that's resisting you and not pliable before you. And I think it's just so essential that we grow by confession and repentance. We grow as the Lord identifies these things. And in the area of having a tender heart, what is it that stands against it? Well, we have to confess that. We have to own that. And then just say, Lord, I want to be different here. I don't want to continue in that. I want a tender heart that's pliable before you. And then I think the flip side of that is, you know, the flip side of confessing hardness is expressing gratitude. And just seeing how every good and perfect gift in our life comes down from above, from the Father of light. That, you know, what from Corinthians, where Paul says, what do you have that you've not been given? If you've been given it, where's there room for boasting? Truly taking time to look through your life and see that God is the source of all of this, and taking time to express gratitude. I think gratitude leads towards a tender, soft heart. And it can, anyway, lead towards that, to where we take time to really number and name the all the things that the Lord is doing through his grace and through his mercy that we have received, and just taking time to be in those things and to express, to confess hardness and to express gratitude. Those are things that came to my mind as, and I think about as I grow in grace in this area too.
You know, sometimes there's a discouragement. Like I've seen that in my life, like, man, I need to grow in this way. And you feel stuck, or you feel like, okay, how do I just begin to take those steps? And so I love that confession. What was the second? You had a title for the second one. Was it just confession, looking to
confess hardness and express gratitude?
There you go. Express gratitude. And I think you said trust at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
Trusting that he's at work, that he's able and willing to grow us, that he's powerfully at work within us. I think Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Well, that means the Lord is going to be consistently, constantly, faithfully at work to grow us in the ways that we need to grow until Christ returns, until we see Christ face to face. That's what a great assurance that is, that he is able and willing and faithful and strong to work. But then sort of the second part of that is, I think, when you just flip over another to the next chapter, is so the Lord is working, and he then empowers a working out of this in our lives. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he uses that same word. So earlier he says, God is faithful. He's good to begin. He who began a good work will complete it. He's going to keep working. And then chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it does. It begins with us running to the Lord, looking to the Lord. And here's the encouragement of that. And we say this often, but any leaning towards this is a display of God already at work, right? So any leaning we have towards the Lord in growth as we pursue specifically these things, tenderness and humility, is already the Spirit working to produce that. We don't produce that on our own. It's the Lord working in us for his good pleasure that then produces our labor, our desire to grow, right, our turning away from evil things, or the things that we, the heart attitudes, or words that we would say. So it begins with looking at him, confession, gratitude in the Lord. So gospel, looking to who he is, what he's done, what he continues to do. I guess maybe one thing that comes to mind in light of that is that, like, the outworking of this. When I first came to faith, and a couple of years in, and I really wanted to grow in some areas. And I looked at our church, and I remember my pastor told me this. He said, God's provided people around you that he intends to use for you to grow. And so I began to look out, and I said, this guy, I hear him teaching the Bible in like a Sunday school, and I want to learn how to study the word. So I approached him, hey, can you help me learn how to study the word? And I began meeting with him. And then another guy or a couple guys, I just loved to hear pray. And I knew they would, you know, often come to prayer, and they were just faithful in those ways. And so I approached them. I said, hey, can I just begin to meet with you and pray? And I want to grow in this. And so just, there was a number of things like that I began to sort of just, I want to grow in this. So I want to be around people who aren't perfect, but yet I think will help me grow in these areas. And the Lord did. The Lord began to grow me in those areas and continues to grow me. And so I think one way is being around people and being honest with them that you want to grow in these ways. And even finding people who you see live this out, and just, I want to be with them. I want to be around them. I want to pray with them. I want to grow alongside them in a tender heart and a humble heart. The scripture obviously speaks to, you know, a corrupting of ourselves as we are around those who love corruption. Well, I think the same works the opposite way, where the Lord encourages and stirs our faith by those we see walking in the faith, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's just so good on so many levels. I think the Spirit sanctifies us, the Word sanctifies us, but the people of God are a huge means of sanctification. It's having people that you can maybe confess, those that you trust can entrust with this, confess areas maybe where they're hardness or resistance, and who can pray specifically about those things in your life, and who not only model it, but are then going to the Lord on your behalf as well. Mm-hmm. We've been so well supplied.
Yeah.
Everything God, you know, you want to know what God's doing in your life? Well, just look at whatever He commands. That's what He's doing in your life. Mm-hmm. I think being tenderhearted like Christ, we are to forgive others, tenderhearted like Christ forgave us. Understanding how tender and humble Christ is, growing in that knowledge, and then specifically praying for how that would look, you know, like, Lord, let that just not just knowledge, but let that be transformational as I see Christ and as I experience His tenderness in my life and His compassion, that then opens me up to be, you know, pliable before the Lord as well.
Yes, yes. I think that's great. And then I guess, you know, the last thing that kind of comes to my mind is just responding to those opportunities that the Lord gives. Like if the Lord's highlighting that in your heart and mind, like, you know what, I didn't respond well in that way to that person or,
yeah,
you know, my kid or someone at church, and responding to that. Like the Lord's not highlighting that through His Spirit to condemn. The Lord wants us, that's the beginning. Yeah. Of the tenderization of the Lord and the molding is saying, okay, then humbly respond in this moment of confession and repentance again. Go to your brother and apologize.
Yeah.
Go to the Lord and own it, what you've done in a good way, not for condemnation purposes, but
right.
Turn away from these things and to walk in a tenderness and humility. Well, brother, I think as we seek to continue to grow in these particular categories of tenderness and humility, one, we see the Lord doing this already in our church. After the sermon, I had several conversations and just prayer moments where I think people in the body were just responding in these ways. I think the Spirit already doing this work of just tenderizing and bringing about a humility before the Lord and before one another. And I just saw it through tears, through different many expressions of just wanting to respond and going to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. I left church encouraged and I think feeling in a sense more tenderhearted in the Lord. And we do want to continue to see this. So thank you, brother, for your labor. Thank you for just even your honest confession before the body through your sermon that, hey, I want to grow in this too. And I think we all do. And so thanks for just helping map out for us how we can continue to grow in these ways as a church.
Well, I mean, you know, because I know your heart is that in just knowing that the Lord is using his word to build his people, to grow his people, to encourage his people, and making us and forming us into a church that he wants and he delights in. That's a joy that we get to be part of that every Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
We now turn to our Sovereign Grace Catechism, question number 3. How does God reveal himself to us? Answer: God reveals himself to all people through creation and providence, but he reveals what is necessary for salvation and life only through the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So with that, we look ahead to the best day of the week at the dearest place on earth, which is Sunday among the gathered people of Christ, his church. Until then, precious saints, let's be praying for one another. Let's pray in light of growing in a tenderness of heart and a humility. Pray for one another. Make that a point of prayer for the church and for your own heart.